KALW.
We would show up at 7:30 in the morning at some of these places like Cow Palace, and there would be 200 people there already.
Food banks have had to get creative to reach a growing number of people in need during the pandemic. But some challenges remain the same.
Anywhere we go, we have trouble getting people to take gigantic winter squashes.
Today, we meet a woman who helps run outdoor pop-up pantries. Then we go behind the scenes of the San Francisco Marin Food Bank Distribution Center.
So every single day, we have huge 18-wheelers who come in from the Central Valley and deliver truckloads upon truckloads of produce.
And we'll talk to the new executive director of the food bank about how they're meeting the rising demand for help.
It has been challenging, but we were ready to meet that challenge head on.
That's coming up. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. In our ongoing series, At Work, we talk to people about what they do and how it's changed.
I have a lot of pride in my work.
How do you do it?
Sprays, masks, gloves.
I'm with the Swamp Team.
Hi, my friends, and how are you?
It's nice now with technology.
Pandora's box has been opened.
It's a beautiful way to make your living, but it's more work than I ever imagined.
Food pantries provide fresh produce and other groceries to people who don't have enough to eat. The model is simple. A community organization hosts a pantry, and the local food bank stocks it. But last year, as the pandemic led to layoffs and business closures, food insecurity soared. California has seen the biggest increase and now has over 6 million people living in food insecure households. In this latest installment of our series, At Work, we meet a program manager at San Francisco Marin Food Bank who's helping get groceries to people in need during this challenging time. KLW's Lisa Ramreka reports.
Before the pandemic, SF Marin Food Bank supplied hundreds of food pantries across San Francisco and Marin. They were small affairs, usually located in neighborhood spaces like church halls and community centers, where you could pick up the groceries you needed. COVID-19 rules around social distancing and shelter in place meant that model had to change.
We had many thousands of participants whose pantries were run by volunteers or indoors, and the staff of the organizations that ran them felt there was just no way to do so safely, and they closed.
Ellen Garcia is a nutrition consultant and teacher. For the past 6 years, she's worked with SF Marin Food Bank, visiting schools, senior centers, and SRO hotels to help people make the most of their pantry produce, like how to cook carrots in a microwave, or what to make with an oversized squash, that sort of thing. But once shelter-in-place began, the classes were cancelled and Ellen was reassigned. It became her job to get food to the people in the neighborhoods that needed it most. The solution? Pop-up pantries.
School parking lots, they're public spaces that are outdoors, basically. And some privately owned spaces that we're allowed to use. For example, we use the parking lot at Bayview Opera House. But we're outside, we set up an assembly line of groceries, and I sort of think of it like catering picnic, except instead of giving away a plate of food to a line of people, we give away a bag of groceries.
Ella remembers the first day of the first pop-up near Balboa Park in San Francisco.
We were allowed to set up on the street outside of Denman Middle School, not inside, not in the parking lot, on the street. Delivery truck came and dropped a bunch of ingredients, and we set them up in an assembly line and bagged these groceries and outreached to pantry participants to come and pick up their food here.
The food bank reached out to pantry participants in the area to let them know about their nearest pop-up. Ellen says the huge response was a little overwhelming.
That first day, we served around 240 households, and I think I went home and cried because my mind was sort of blown by the whole situation.
That first day proved to be the model for the food bank's pop-up pantry program, which now operates at 27 outdoor locations across San Francisco and Marin. Most now attract 5 to 10 times the number seen at pantries pre-pandemic.
And what we saw after a month or two was that it wasn't just the folks who had lost access to their food through us, it was lots of new folks.
The Mission High School pantry distributes around 500 bags each Tuesday.
We know that the huge population in the mission are people who work in the food industry, and many of them lost their jobs in those restaurants or food businesses. And many of the people who lost their jobs were people who don't necessarily have access to other kinds of food assistance.
And the lines are a testament to the need.
And we would show up at 7:30 in the morning at some of these places like Cow Palace, and there would be 200 people there already. And if you show up to wait possibly 4 hours for a bag of potatoes, you really need that help. And seeing that day after day after day really is a reality check on whatever I'm stressing about.
Buenos dias.
Each pop-up operates one day a week. You can sign up in advance for a pickup location and time, and that helps reduce lines. But walk-ins are also welcome.
We don't ask for income information or anything like that.
Ellen has noticed that each pantry location has its own distinct challenges and needs.
In Chinatown, a lot of our participants are mostly senior participants. We have to be so careful about the distancing, and it's hard with the language, and there's just a lot to manage there.
And there are also cultural sensitivities to think about.
Certain items are hard to get people to take because they're not sure what to do with them. In Chinatown, the dairy products are not terribly popular. Anywhere we go, we have trouble getting people to take gigantic winter squashes because people are coming from all over the world and they have their different traditions of what they're used to using.
Within the last 10 days, have any of you been in close contact or have lived with someone with COVID-19?
Given demand and COVID constraints, it takes a small army of people to make each pop-up happen. It's a new challenge for the food bank. It's never directly run pantries before.
A crew to put on one of these events is somewhere between 30 and 60 people. And it's volunteers, it's temporary staff, it's permanent staff, it's, you know, truck drivers. We all sort of come together with this unified mission for a minute to just do this straightforward thing. And we get to see what we're doing. We get to see the result of it. And that experience has been incredibly sustaining for me personally in this time, it's uncertainty. I remember meeting a lot of volunteers in the first month or so who said, I have to be here. I have to do this. I can't be at home right now watching TV. I'll lose my mind.
Almost a year since the pop-ups began, they now serve 60,000 households each week. Volunteer numbers have doubled to 2,000 a week to keep up with this demand.
So I love what I do. I don't love that I have to do it and that it has to be done and that the program has to exist right now, but I'm just incredibly grateful to have an opportunity to do something useful. And I think that our volunteers who come back day after day, they're driven by the same thing.
Ellen's story is not just one about COVID in 2020. The nonprofit Feeding America estimates one in six households nationally is in need of food. Increasing food aid is an early priority of the Biden administration. But in the meantime, pop-up pantries will continue for as long as people don't have enough food and we need to stay 6 feet apart. In San Francisco, I'm Lisa Ramraker for Cross Currents.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Henat Baba. Food insecurity has been a problem in the Bay Area for years, well before the pandemic.
And if you go back and you look at economic data, you see that since the mid-70s, we've seen a steady march of having more people at the bottom of the income curve, fewer in the middle, and a very, very tiny number of people at the very top.
That's Paul Ash. He was the executive director of the San Francisco Food Bank for 32 years. A few years ago, before he retired, he took reporter Rebecca Birongi on a tour of their main distribution center in Potrero Hill. That's where all the supplies come from for the food pantries that we heard about earlier.
We're here today in the distribution center. where we receive truckloads, many truckloads every day, of fresh fruits and vegetables, canned products, dry products like rice and beans. They come into our warehouse and they're stored, sorted, in the case of fresh produce, quickly turned around and distributed out to people in our community who don't have enough to eat.
Right now, we're making our way toward the warehouse floor, and this is where all of our food comes in. My name is Blaine Johnson, and I'm the Media Relations Manager for the San Francisco and Marin Food Banks. So it's fresh fruits and vegetables. It's really healthy food.
The fresh produce mostly comes here from California, from Southern California in the wintertime, Northern California in the summertime. We'll go to Washington and Idaho for things like potatoes and onions, even into Northern Mexico in the wintertime so that we can have fresh produce year-round for our clients.
We have forklifts buzzing all around. It's very busy here in the morning. This is when we receive, you know, dozens of truckloads of fresh produce. So you'll see the employees moving those around on forklifts and putting them into orders that are going to go out to our food pantries this morning.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Jones. How you doing? Yeah, I'm what you call an order builder. What we do is we start from potatoes and yams and from on the pallet, and we build them up to make them look like this every morning.
They're just stacks all the way up to the ceiling. And we've got bulk rice. We've got other staples like oats. And what's going to happen is our volunteers come in every day. We can have as many as hundreds of volunteers a day. And they will repackage those totes of rice and oats into family-size one-pound portions. So we're going to move from the warehouse floor to our volunteer repack room. And in that room, we have a volunteer shift. I think it's kids today and maybe some adults. And what they're doing is repacking these bulk quantities of food into one-pound family-sized portions.
So, well, we're like sorting of kiwis for people who don't have food so like they can survive. And it's
we're doing it
because we want to help people. My name is Stanley Chan.
John Mellon.
And his name is Ethan Tran.
Kids can actually come in and volunteer here, and it's a great way for children to sort of get back to their communities, get connected with people who might have a little bit less than they do, and quite frankly have some fun. You know, you can hear them laughing and playing, and it's usually a pretty fun morning.
And our teacher wants us to help people that don't have any food, so it's good to help people.
With people that don't have much food.
Because some people aren't as fortunate as us, so it's kind of like a responsibility to help other people.
The people who enjoy bringing their families here to volunteer the most are our most significant donors. And they, I think they're worried that their children aren't seeing the reality of life in the United States. And so this is a good starting conversation, a good place to start a conversation.
So right now, they are wrapping orders on the warehouse floor. So they're preparing this to go out to a food pantry. So you've got carrots on the bottom row and then a whole bunch of beans on the top, which is a great source of protein.
Well, the food will go out from here, all to low-income individuals and families. Some will go out through schools. We distribute food in churches, which generally are kind of catchments for neighborhoods where anybody can come and register and get food assistance. And then we also distribute food in closed communities, so in Tenderloin hotels, seniors' residences. So those are places where only the residents can come and get food. It's a big operation, so it takes a lot of money to run it. But it's the individual that really keep this place moving.
That piece was produced by Rebecca Burungi. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Organizations like the San Francisco Marin Food Bank are more essential now than ever. We just heard from former longtime director Paul Ash. Next, we'll hear from the new director, Tanis Crosby. In addition to the pop-up pantries we heard about earlier in the show, how else is the food bank meeting the growing demand? I talked with her to find out. You're coming into this job at a difficult time, to say the least. The food bank is at a place right now where it's serving, I think I read, double the number of households compared to before the pandemic. So it's a really challenging time to be kind of taking this on. And if we first talk about this new huge demand in terms of food, the food production chain has been affected. So what has the food bank done?
Our team has been so creative in identifying the food sourcing. We partner with programs that were incubated right here at our food bank called Farm to Family. 60% of the food that we source is fresh fruits and vegetables. So yes, it has been challenging, but we were ready to meet that challenge head on. We were ready to work with our partners, with farmers, and with the government and in coalitions to source this food, to buy the food, and then to make sure that we're distributing it to those who need it the most in our community.
And like you said, we do know that there are, you know, many, many more people who are using your service. What areas that you serve have seen the most uptick in need?
We know that in our community, that communities of color have been disproportionately impacted. We know that older adults in our communities have been disproportionately impacted in being able to access and receive healthy, nourishing food. So we're laser focused on making sure that we are reaching out to that diversity of our community to making sure that we can serve. And that's how we make this mission work, by, with, through our community. And then innovative solutions like drive-through for those who are able to use vehicles. That's a great way of providing different choices and options. So we've stretched. We've looked at different ways we can distribute, different methods of reaching diverse communities, and then incubating those ideas with our community.
And it looks like a lot more people have been perusing your home delivery option as well. The number here from your report says pre-COVID it was 260 households, and now it's 12,000 households. Is that right?
That's right. It goes up for between 8 and 12,000. And just to think of the scope of volunteering, it takes about 2,000 volunteers per week to run these emergency programs. That's up from about 1,200 pre-pandemic. So we've really scaled up these activities, but it's because of the community support that's making this possible.
And so that brings me to my question about donors. To what extent have donors either increased in numbers or increased contributions? Where is the additional funding coming from for these expanded services?
Right now, we are on track to deliver in excess of 63 million pounds of food this coming year. That's up from 48 million the prior year. In January alone, we distributed over 5 million meals. Food to make 5 million meals. So donors are powering this amplification of effort. We've increased our staff by over upwards of 60%. We're sourcing food, distributing more food, and the community is making that possible. Every dollar that's invested in the food bank, we turn into two meals. So we're able to really amplify and magnify the impact because of the donation of time, the donation of food, and the donation of talent. So we pull that all together to make some real magic happen in our community.
Right. So you're coming into this job in a difficult time, but also back in October, folks at the food bank unionized, but that was after, you know, a lot of people were talking about issues with institutional racism and a lack of worker protections. And this is recent. This is fresh, still in the hearts and minds of workers at the food bank. So as director, what are your plans in that regard?
I am squarely focused on making sure that we center equity and inclusion in our work and way forward. And it's so important that as part of our mission, we recognize and embed and center in the ways in which we must deliver our service, our culture, and our support to ensure that we see equity and inclusion as an imperative that is embedded into our mission. Our staff are committed to transformation, our leadership, our board. I think this is a great moment that we can meet. And when we center on equity and inclusion, that's where our mission will be most impactful. So I think there's a lot of opportunity ahead. There's an opportunity to listen, to transform, and to center our work on the way forward. And I'm really excited by that.
We know so many families are facing food insecurity for the first time. What do you want to tell them? What should a family or an individual who's facing food insecurity for the first time know right now?
There's no shame in receiving help because we all need help at some point and we all have help to offer. So we invite you to be part of this expression of caring and community. And if you need help, we're here for you. And if you'd like to be part of offering your help, we'd love to have you as part of this team.
All right, Tanis Crosby, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tanis Crosby is the new executive director of the San Francisco Marin Food Bank. If you or someone you know would like to donate or volunteer or otherwise help out the food bank, we'll show you how to do that at kalw.org. And before we go, here's some new music from a local artist. This is Eternal Drag from San Francisco with their debut album, Hovering. Today's Cross Currents team includes Annalise Finney, Andrew J.M. Garcia, Lisa Morehouse, Sonia Narung, and Marissa Ortega Welch. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shirin Adil. Managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.